IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 25 past four. It's time for our COVID slot. Daniel Israel, good afternoon. What you got for me this afternoon?
Hi, Simon. I thought maybe we should talk today about it. We're definitely seeing an increase in cases in the community. Hatsola numbers are sitting around between 30 and 40 at the moment, so even probably above that. So the question to ask is, if you are feeling sick at the moment, how do you know if you have COVID? And perhaps we can go through like just a couple of points about what one should do.
Yes.
So I think that it's important to understand that there's a lot of respiratory viruses going around at the moment besides COVID, which was not the case in the first wave.
Yes.
We saw over the first wave, maybe because of the social distancing and staying at home, there was really nothing else. We didn't see flu for 2 years. And now we are really, GPs are seeing flu. When we're swabbing for flu, we're actually picking up influenza positive swabs, often. So when you feel sick, firstly, if you're young and healthy and you've been vaccinated, your chances of getting a complication of COVID are very low. So I don't think it's bad advice to tell a patient that if they're not feeling good on day one, that they should stay home and they should just, play it safe, because you can see whether that really develops into something or whether it goes away and then it might have just been a bad night or a heavy day. Then proceed with viral symptoms. And what are the viral symptoms we see a lot in this Delta variant? Remember, the Delta variant is the variant that is really the only variant going around at the moment, basically. Sore throats, much more than we had in the other variants. And just, body fatigue and aching. Not necessarily the dry cough and the loss of smell that we saw in the first waves. So if you do have something like that, yes, please reach out to your doctor if you have one, because the doctors are seeing the patterns and we can advise. But it would be fair to exercise then after that just safe behavior after you've consulted your doctor either telephonically or physically. And then often I send patients to rule out COVID, because once you've ruled out COVID, you know that you're in a space where you probably have one of the other viruses. Obviously then, if the COVID comes back positive, you haven't been exposing yourself to other people since you felt symptoms. The one thing that is important is if you wait a whole long time and you're reluctant to test, then you're not giving yourself the opportunity to let people know who you've been in contact with that they might have been infected. And then that's obviously how this thing spreads. So there is a responsibility in testing as well.
And Daniel, what test would you envision prescribing for somebody in that condition? Are we talking the antigen? Are we talking the...
So remember, as we spoke about a week or two ago, the PCR test is by far still the most sensitive. It's still the gold standard of testing. Quite expensive. Most medical aids do offer a few under risk. But if someone's mildly symptomatic or they're clearing an exposure, so to speak, it's better to do a PCR. But if a person has become quite symptomatic and they really, say have body aches, probably fever, the antigen sensitivity becomes much better and you can actually do an antigen test. But I always err on the side of PCR when it's available because even though it takes longer, it definitely gives a result that you can bank on more.
Very interesting stuff that, Daniel, and weird to me that there are so many strains of flu flying around at the moment. Is there any reason for that?
We've never actually seen an influenza outbreak. I wouldn't call it an outbreak because it's, as I said yesterday, it requires certain statistical points to be met. But a spread of influenza in summer. We don't get this in summer, ever. But it really could just be from the delay in people aggregating together for so long. And now with the opening up of society in the last couple of months, we're seeing a new phenomenon. It's so much so that there's even recommendation from the NICD for people to still go and do a flu injection if you haven't had one, even though we're sitting in the middle of November. And you can do a flu injection at the same time as a COVID injection. So you do not have to worry anymore about waiting 2 or 3 weeks between them. You can do them together.
Daniel Israel, as always, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Simon.